What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good, the band, the ugly.
All right, it's that time. Hour number three, Jeremy Con, Ed Norris, Big Bad Morning Show. Rob's off today. Back tomorrow. Ed, we started off with you. Who gets the good from this weekend?
The Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels. I think pretty clear. They found their quarterback, finally. I don't think anyone saw this coming. 12-5 team, went to the playoffs, beat the number one seed by 2 touchdowns. Damn. Jaden Daniels threw for 300 yards, 299, 2 touchdowns, no picks. They were passer rating 123. He throws a beautiful deep pass. He really does. He's just really, really, you can just tell this kid's good. And doesn't even, like, seem like he gets flustered. They showed him. They're making fun of him, kind of like his demeanor was the same. You know, whether it was a fumble, a pick, a touchdown, whatever, good, bad, whatever. He just looks exactly the same. They're going to the NFC Championship. Hard to believe. After all these years of mediocrity, the Lions got bounced. Playing the Eagles, division rival. So, yeah, they're good to me. And particularly him, Jaden Daniels.
I mean, that was a fun game unless you were a Lions fan.
Did you guys see that the Cowboys are now the only team?
Yes. I said that to Rashawn, right?
You did?
As soon as I saw it.
Hasn't what?
They haven't made it a conference championship game in the 2000s. They're the only team in the NFC.
Or the NFC East, right?
No, in the entire NFC. They're the only NFC team that hasn't made a conference championship game in the last 24 years.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure.
That just sounds so ridiculous.
Really?
Wow. There's got...
Yeah, sorry. Because the Lions are good now.
Yeah.
They're the only one.
Yeah. I mean, the Bears went to a Super Bowl. I'm sitting here going team by team. Yeah. I'm going to get them. Arizona went to a Super Bowl.
Bucks have won 2 Super Bowls in that point in time.
Seattle, San Fran, L.A. Yeah. That's what happened.
Surprised we haven't heard from Rashawn yet.
Well, I'm sure he's up there. He saw Bills fans. He was filming somebody. He's all world star. Somebody got hit in the face with a shovel. He's out there talking trash. The Bills fans, they're giving him the finger and yelling at him and just... Whatever the hell else is going on. Joe, you get the bad. What was bad this weekend?
This was tough. There was a lot to choose from. I thought about doing Bills Mafia because they put Coleman on the big board, which is
hilarious.
If you need bulletin board material from Jerry Coleman, that's pretty sad. But no, I'll go with the officiating. This was just like across the board.
Yeah.
There wasn't every single game this weekend had at least 2 or 3 moments, or some of them even more than that, where you're like, what is going on right now? I don't, and they're not going to do anything because there's a level of hubris with the league and the referees that they refuse to admit that they ever get anything wrong.
Yeah, do you want to see, I mean, as much as I do in the postseason, I want to see them almost review everything. And I'm saying in real time, like anybody watching in the Ravens game, that pass interference call, anybody watching in the Chiefs game, the quarterback hit, the late hit that was on, or unnecessary roughness on Pat Mahomes, can watch it and go, they made a mistake. They had a bad angle. They threw a flag. How can they not call it? You call down and say, yeah, it was a yard short. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever watched these refs come in and go, how the hell did he know his knee down was at the six-inch mark? Like, I saw him reach the ball. And then all of a sudden, you come back and you see the replay. It's like, yeah, he was down at the six-inch mark. I don't think they're that good. They're all old. You know, they're running all over the field. I don't think they're that good to see it in real time when they're blocked by defenders.
That's the problem, I think.
But I think somebody's calling in from up top saying this is where it's at. Hell, yesterday I was watching a game. It was a Ravens game where it was one of the ones that they called fourth and short. I think it was a Derrick Henry run. They called it fourth and short, and I think Mark Andrews picks it up with a QB sneak. And it's just funny to me because the one official's running in front of the line, and the other one's running in ahead of it as they're running in. So who's right? Which one of you gets to say, I'm in the right spot? Or do you go, let's just take it in the middle somewhere in between us two? Like, who makes the call there?
Some of them are so obvious, too, that, like, the pass interference, they tried that. That was another instance where I think they just didn't want to admit that they got it wrong, so they would just, they'd stick with the same call. That's whatever. I think it was Saturday night's game where they called a face mask when you should see the replay, and he doesn't even touch his face mask. Yeah. That is one that you can fix so easily, and I know that where from where they're standing, you can see it looks like a face mask, but that's not one that you should be upset about getting wrong. Just make sure you get it right the first time. That's 15 yards. That's not just, you know, he's 1 step in front of the line and it's an illegal man downfield. That's different. That's a ticky-tack. That's whatever. 15 yards, that's is drive changing.
Oh, I mean, there's so many things to sit here and look at from the officials this weekend and go, I don't know what you're seeing. And the other part of this, too, is like when you hear the guys in the booth and everyone's talking about it going, how is this what you guys are actually saying is what transpired in the game? And it does. It affects outcomes. Like there have been times where they pick up the challenge flag. Like, oh, no, you don't have to challenge it. We're going to look at it anyway. Why? Why didn't you do it the last time I threw a challenge flag? Yeah. Like, when does it... there's no rhyme or reason to it. The officiating's been awful across the board. I'm not sitting here blaming the officials for the Ravens' loss. I'm just saying it has to be better than that in the postseason. By the way, you remember the new rule they enforced this year? You can't hip drop tackle.
Right.
I saw 15 of them this weekend.
Lamar got hip dropped.
Out of bounds.
Out of bounds. Yep, it should have been 30 yards.
Sure did.
Did you get rid of it or not? Like, and by the way, the Ravens did it too. But in the snow... That's what happens when you get hip drop tackled so many times because guys are holding on and trying to pull you to the ground. So they use their weight. But again, like there's no rhyme or reason to it. That was in the beginning of the year. How many times after week one did you see the issues with what the Ravens had on the offensive line against the Chiefs, right? Oh, he's lined up off the... How many times did you see it? Do you think every team just got it right the rest of the way? What is that? It just doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. Ugly... Here's what I think's ugly, and I hate when this happens, and I got some friends that you probably, you're going to hear me actually call out some of your posts on social media. Mark Andrews had the worst game of his life. The fumble in the middle of the field, a drop two-point conversion when he can come back and redeem himself to give you a shot to try to win the game. And oh, by the way, as a football fan, I wanted him to catch that and score that just to see if Josh Allen could make it down the field in a minute and a half or if the pressure got to him. See, I would have loved to have seen. I would love to have seen overtime. And obviously, I wanted the Ravens to win. But in that moment, yeah, it sucks. Mark Andrews, and I hate being this guy. When like I saw people posting, he saved some woman's life on a flight. He's done this. He's done that. He's a wonderful human being. The vitriol from some of the fans saying, I hope you die. You're so unclutch. I hope they cut you. You're a piece of garbage. Get him off this team. Are you guys idiots?
Yes.
Like, seriously?
Answer, yes.
Like, that's... I hope you die? The F is wrong with you. Like, you really went on social media and posted, I hope you die. It's an effing football game. This is what's ugly. People are ugly. And I, like, there's so much of it. I was telling Ed, I went on a Buffalo station and said, they asked me, like, how confident are you in this game? And I said, I'm so nervous because I'm so confident.
Yeah.
Like, I'm scared because I'm so confident. I wake up this morning to Bills Mafia sending me a message. Hey, you were being real arrogant on Bills Radio. No, I wasn't. I gave you my opinion. And by the way, when I went on Bills Radio, I was sitting there saying, I hope whoever loses or whoever wins this game goes on to win the Super Bowl. I'm one of the few people, too, that was going on radio, not bashing Josh Allen to try to lift up Lamar. Both of them had amazing seasons, and Lamar's going to win the MVP. But... I don't know that that's the award he really coveted this year. He wanted to get that Super Bowl. Yeah. And, outside of Pat Mahomes, I don't think it's happened where somebody's won an MVP and won the Super Bowl in the same season. So there you go. All the people talking. Hey, look, you could talk negatively about him. Like, come on, you got to catch that. I can't believe. I hope you die is something you sent out. Garbage. You're a garbage individual. You know who you are. All right, 410-583-1057. If you want to get in and talk, we've got plenty of stuff we're going to get to, including talking about Lamar, Preston's report card, go around the AFC North, one of the last ones we're going to have here. But up next, again, we talk about Lamar. You want to talk about his game? 410-583-1057. We're here on The Fan.
Jackson's going to get it.
Two.
Jackson throws.
Three.
Deep ball.
One.
Touchdown, Baltimore.
How did Baltimore's top signal caller perform?
Man, I just got to get over this, because we right there. I'm tired of being right there. We need to punch it in. We need to punch in that ticket. But bro, we gotta get right off season, man. Get right off season.
That's Lamar Jackson talking about QB1 here. Lots of frustration. You could see it. That's got to be a weird thing too, because you want to pick up your teammate Mark Andrews at the end of that game.
Yeah.
There's so many mistakes made along the way, so many things that could have changed the outcome of the game. Three turnovers, that penalty that was called. Maybe if you run it four times down on the goal line, you're not kicking a field goal there to try to cut it to an 8-point lead. A lot of things, but ultimately at the end of the game when your star tight end drops a 2-point conversion, and it's a clear drop, how do you pick him up in a moment where, as somebody else, you said it was Emmanuel Acho that said, thanks, Mark Andrews. Now you've given up shade basically to throw at Lamar for the next 8 months. And that's what's going to happen. The whole offseason is going to be talking about this and whoever wins the Super Bowl, and it's not going to be Lamar. Lamar was clearly frustrated. I want to play some sound from this. This is a rather long clip, but pay attention to it because he has a few choice words during it.
The first half, I had two costly turnovers. Me not holding the safety, me just knowing the coverage, me knowing it was man, threw a BS interception. It was 7-7 at the time. I believe they scored after that. Battle back, fumble, snap, trying to make something happen. Couldn't throw. It was like a RPO play, so I couldn't really throw the ball to the offensive line was down the field. So I was trying to make something happen. Tried to squeeze the ball, slipped out my hand. Von Miller picked it up, got some yards. I think that led to points for them. So it's a team effort out there. He's been busting his behind. He's making plays happen out there on that field for us. Came up short. And like I've been saying all season, every time we're in situations like this, turnovers play a factor. Penalties play a factor. Tonight, the turnovers, we can't have that. And that's why we lost the game. Because as you can see, we're moving the ball wonderfully. It's hold on to the ball. I'm sorry for my language. But it's annoying. I'm tired of
I did like, sorry for my language. And then two more expletives thrown out there. What do you think about Lamar's comments there and how frustrated he is, obviously, after the game?
Well, he's saying that it was untrue. I mean, the turnovers killed him. He made, BS interception he threw, which was a terrible, terrible interception. There was nobody in the camera frame with the defender. So he had that, and then he was trying to make, a dollar out of 55 cents when he's being sacked, and it didn't work. He's spinning around trying to change hands with the ball, and he lost the ball, and that killed us. So, yeah, it was not a good day for him.
There's so many things in the moment just watching this weekend. Like, Nick Sirianni did some of the dumbest things I've seen a coach do, and they won their game. At times when you get down near the goal line and the clock is your enemy at that point, or the clock is your friend, I should say, and you just want it to run, why are you bailing the defense out by throwing passes, especially when you have Saquon Barkley in the backfield? Run the effing ball.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a big lay-it-up guy, but you can still pick up a first down running the effing ball, and guess what else happens? They either use their timeouts or clock runs off, and you're still in field goal range, no matter what. Like, you see dumb things happen all the time in these games, and, getting down near the goal. I was screaming when they got down there and Derrick Henry gets stopped on first and goal, and I'm going, run it three more times. Who cares?
Yeah, that's what I say. I mean,
who the F cares? It's just, and I know it's not, like, some things aren't as simplistic as that. And coaches get caught up in the moment where it's like, oh, they're going to stuff the box. We got one-on-one on the outside. I'll show them. No, they can't stop you if you keep running the ball. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's what went wrong in this game. But in those moments, it is so frustrating to see coaches do dumb things. How about coaches wasting timeouts or not knowing when to use them? Yeah, like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Running Henry through the A-gaps, like, that's not his thing. He's never been successful at that. Even with Tennessee, if he's off tackle, you get him a little, not, you don't have to be a pitch or a sweep, just get him a little bit outside, running behind the tackle. That's where he's dangerous, because once he gets out there, sees a little opening, boom, goodbye.
See, and I think there is something to be said that the Ravens could throw to open up the run, but they should never have to do that with the team that they have. They can run on anyone. You could put a 15-man front out there, and I still think they could run on them. It's just somewhat ridiculous to kind of see how everything transpired yesterday. And after the game, you go back and look at it, you're like, what did the Bills do? There's not a lot of yardage. There's touchdowns. They got the turnovers. Their defense played way better than I thought they would. And it almost feels like you flinched after you weren't running the football efficiently in the first half. You kind of got it going on that second drive in the second half and just ran the football right down their throats for a touchdown. And you're like, hey, next time you get the ball, why don't you do that again? Still plenty of time left, but that's not what happened. So Lamar's clearly frustrated. You're going to hear more and more about him being in that group with Peyton Manning of not being able to get to the Super Bowl. So just frustrating. Let's go out to the phone lines. Mike's in Hereford. Mike, you're on the Fan. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
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 So going to the game yesterday, you know, you see this time and time again with Lamar. I mean, you know, he's got the great regular season, perhaps another MVP season, and he goes into a playoff game, puts up a great stat line, but ultimately at the end of the day, you know, the turnovers just kill us. And, you know, again, I think he played a good game, but, you know, Allen's the better quarterback, and he ended up winning the football game. You know, Lamar, the bad interception, the fumble, and, you know, also, going to Mark Andrews, you know, it seemed like he kind of had an off-and-on game. You know, he's got some bad drops. Obviously, the two-point conversion, you know, we saw that. It was almost identical to that play in Pittsburgh a couple years ago. You know, but he also had some really nice catches. So it's just kind of crazy. You know, he puts up these great stat lines and just can't win these games, these big games. So,
I appreciate the phone call. And again, look, I'll say this. Like, I can't sit here and say Josh Allen's a better quarterback just because he won that one game, especially when, honestly, outside of the turnovers, and I know you don't get to take those away, Josh Allen just did everything he was supposed to do. Like, I don't think he was otherworldly amazing yesterday, but when they got down in the red zone, he got them touchdowns except for the one time. You know, like,
yeah.
Again, when you look at his overall numbers, there's nothing that jumps out at you, even his rushing numbers. He had two rushing TDs. But there's nothing in there to say, oh my God, they dominated this game.
Did you see when he was about to toss that ball back when he got stopped on third down?
Oh, yes.
And yeah. Dan Orlovsky just posted a video and said, this is why Josh Allen is better now, because he didn't throw the ball back to the running back.
And that stuff happens all the effing time. Let's take another phone call here. Mark's in Gambrills. Mark, you're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Since you let me on the show.
Yep.
Hey, I'm really frustrated about the game, and it's a couple things that frustrated me. When I look at all the mobile quarterbacks that are in the playoffs, their offensive coordinators make sure that their running game, meaning that the quarterback running the ball himself by design, is a huge part of the game plan. I know Lamar can throw, and I'm not saying he shouldn't throw the ball, but I think in order for the Ravens to be successful, he needs to have at least 60 yards rushing in order for the Ravens to be damn near unstoppable. If you have him design running, maybe with quarterback tracks or quarterback lead plays, it would make the game so much easier for everybody else. It would make it easier for Henry to run the ball, and it would make it easier for him to throw the ball kind of like down the seams when he threw the ball to Likely earlier in the game. I don't know why that's not a bigger part of the game plan. And I agree with you guys on the last call. I think definitely Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback. I mean, Josh Allen barely had over 100 yards passing. He just didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
And mistakes are part of the game. But Lamar needs to definitely be more cognizant of, you know, not turning the ball over. And I'm not sure why they even called that play to throw the ball down the sideline, basically when they had – drove the ball down the field and scored on that first possession.
Yeah, I didn't get that either, man. And Mark, appreciate the phone call. The other thing I'll say too about you know, this game, if we go back to the first half and all the things that went wrong, because you can kind of look at, you know, those two turnovers. It was still, what do we have? It was 14-10 at that point. Yeah, 14. Yes. They were up 4 points and then driving for a potential field goal. And when the pass interference play was called, it totally changed everything there on that play. So I just think that we still have to look at these and say that was a huge play getting that pass interference call. It was 18 yards with a minute and 13 left, which put them at first and 10 at the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being third, that was third and five. So if it's incomplete, they're attempting a 48-yard field goal there, and the Ravens get the ball back with a minute and 13 left. So again, there are certain plays that can absolutely change everything. I'm not blaming the pass interference call on the loss. There's clearly things the Ravens could have done in the second half. All right, Mike Preston joins us next. We'll talk to him, get his report card. After that, an AFC North report. Stay tuned right here.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan.
Preston's report card.
All right, let's get right to it. We welcome in the professor. Mike Preston joins us. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris. Rob Long's off today. Basketball tournament in New York. Mike, how are you, man?
Alrighty, how are you guys doing?
Doing all right. So let's just jump right into it. Mike Preston, of course, with the Baltimore Sun. You can check out his grades, baltimoresun.com. Now, let's start off with quarterback. What did you give Lamar for his play?
I gave him a C. There's a postseason Lamar and an MVP Lamar. The postseason Lamar played the first half of that game. With the turnovers and the fumble. You got to secure the fumble. Can't throw the interception and so forth. One time he tripped over Lindenbaum's foot. And another time, if he makes that pass to Derrick Henry in the left flat early in that game, that might have been a touchdown too. So, but the second half he played well. He played well, and I thought he was going to pull it off. And so I give him a C, kind of balance up the first half.
Hmm. What about the running game? I was surprised we had so much trouble
initially
running against this defense.
Well, I think they penetrated, got some stuff, got in the gaps. They knew there was no Zay Flowers in the game, and that hurt the Ravens. And they brought it. And then in the second half, they come out, they loaded up, and they went with it, and they got some yards. But, you know, they had to come back and score and try to get back in the game, and that takes out Derrick Henry. So I gave them a C. Offensive line, I gave them a C minus. They struggled in the first half, too. When they came out and they started the game well, but then the whole team kind of, like, went into a lull for the remainder of the first half. And the Ravens, they got to get their running game going to have a good offense, and which they did in the second half. So I gave them a C minus. And receivers, you know, Rashad Bateman, he wasn't in late in the game, and I'm not faulting him for that because he got injured, but, you know, you need his presence in a game. I thought Likely played well. But Mark Andrews, you had the fumble. You dropped the two-point conversion pass. I gave them a D in big games. And I know it's cold and so forth, but, hey, you're the clutch guy. And I feel bad for him. I do, because next to Ray Lewis, that guy's worked harder than anybody on that team. But to see that happen to him, it was kind of frustrating. But at the same time, it happened. So I gave them a D.
What about the offensive line, Mike?
The offensive line, I gave them a C-.
Anything stand out in particular with them?
No, I thought they were okay, but they weren't great. You know, they kind of came on with the rest of the offense in the second half. You know, where they picked it up and they started getting Ricard in the game and said, no, we're going to play power football. But then once they're not good pass blockers, and Lamar in the last couple series, he just making plays like Lamar usually does, improvising, reading, running all over the place. And that's good in a way, but not good for your offensive line.
Speaking of things that kind of move the ball and jumping ahead a bit here, but what do you think of special teams play, particularly Keaton Mitchell?
Keaton Mitchell, I thought he averaged like 28.6 yards on kickoff returns. I was surprised that the Bills kept kicking him the football. I'm like, you should kick it to the other guy. Sims, he was the one the week before had problems with the – remember he had the ball that bounced off his face mask? Those were the ones I was concerned about, but they kept kicking to him, and I'm like, well, they must see something. I don't know, or maybe the kickers just kick that way, but I was pretty happy with that. I was very happy, you know, that Tucker converted on those two field goals. And I'm like, okay, it's clutch time. He knows the deal. That's why that's what he gets paid for. So if we get to the fourth quarter and he has to come up big, he can deliver. But they never got that far. But he did well. Other than that, besides the turnovers, they kind of kept Buffalo pinned down. I mean, I think their average start was like 30 yards, 25 yards. That's a pretty good day.
Mike, after the game, you kind of look at the numbers and you're going, the hell happened in that game? Like, I mean, Josh Allen threw for 127 yards, and it's not like, I know they ran the football efficiently, but it wasn't anything that was really overwhelming or anything like that. What did you give the coaches and just your overall thoughts on this game?
All right, well, I give the defensive line a D. Because, you know, they came into the game number one ranked in run defense. I think they gave up 127 yards rushing. Yep. They averaged 4.1 yards a carry. Their linebackers, C minus. I thought the inside guys were fairly strong, even though Malik Harrison was getting blocked all over the place. Roquan played a good game. They're outside guys. Van Noy, what did he finish with? Like four tackles, one or 0.5 sacks, and one pressure. Owe, nothing. You know, it's basically goose eggs. And you knew that was going to happen. Because that's one thing they do is Buffalo has a good offensive line, and they neutralize those guys. The secondary, I've seen that before. They gave up those big plays early, and the call on White was bizarre. That was a bad call.
That was terrible.
The guy pushed him. He's just running with the guy, and pretty much in self-defense, those things happen in the postseason. I was a little surprised by that one, but it didn't go the Ravens' way. They got C-. You saw Harbaugh over there shaking his head like, oh, what are you calling here? Coaching, you know, and I know John Harbaugh will take a lot of heat, you know, and everybody will say, Lamar, you've had an MVP for 3 years and whatever. But except for that lull they had in the first half, they made the adjustments in the second half. Their defense played better. Their offense played better. They just had turnovers. And coaches coach, players play. And I thought they did a good job. I think they've done a pretty good job all season. So I give them a B for the game, just for the lull they had earlier in the game. But for the most part, they made the adjustments. They made the corrections. So I gave them a B. And guys, let me tell you something. One of the best things that I saw, and I saw this in 2000 when Eddie George played Ray Lewis, he comes into the locker room, the Ravens locker room, and those two guys hug. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Because, you know, minutes before, they're just out there just beating the pee out of each other. And then you see Allen and Lamar Jackson, of all the hype and all the trash between social media and two players, and those guys have that embrace.
Yep.
And then Josh Allen talks about him after the game. To me, that's competition. That's special.
Yeah, I mean, that's very cool. It's like a hat tip, you know, like to your opponent, understanding who you're going up against. And I think Ray did it with Peyton as well, and some of the other guys along the career that these guys are just there's a genuine respect between them.
Hey, Mike, what did you think they put Jerry Coleman's face on the Jumbotron with his statement about Buffalo being a city of losers?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. We're all the way on the opposite side of that, you know, we went for on the Jumbotron. And at first we kind of look at it and we go, whoa, that's Jerry Coleman.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, you hear the stadium starting to trash him. And we're just laughing because it's Jerry Coleman and he's one of us. But for some reason, they just go after this guy. They are relentless on him. And I did send him a text at the time and said, you just appeared on the jump.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, when we got you back at 9:15, I do want to, as we recap the game from last night, I want to get your thoughts in that segment on the future as well and maybe what the offseason might look like with this team, because could be some players that aren't going to be back, and I think the look of the team could be totally different. But appreciate it, Mike. We'll talk to you again at 9:15.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike Preston. All right, we've got phone callers we're going to get to. We have our AFC North report that's coming up. More Bite Me. Again, as I said, Mike's going to join us again in the 9 o'clock hour, kind of looking at next year's team a little bit and going back over the report card. But up next, take your phone call and we'll give you an AFC North report right here on The Fan.
AFC North report. The Steelers.
All right, guys, we're going to get back to some calls here in just a second, but we're going to do our AFC North report. It is the end of the year, so not a lot going on. But the one thing that did come out, it was interesting. I don't know who started it here, but I know Rob was talking about the possibility of the Bears trading for Mike Tomlin. He thought it'd be great. He was talking about giving up one of their first-round picks. Now, I don't know what they would have been willing to give up, but the story was that they did reach out to the Bears did reach out to the Steelers, seeing if they'd have any interest in trading Mike Tomlin, and they said, no, we're good. So all that talk of Mike Tomlin being let go, fired, people being upset with him, all seems like hogwash now, because
hogwash.
You could have traded him for something. You're not doing it. Other things that factor in when you look at the AFC North, Deshaun Watson and that Achilles tear and what happens with him moving forward now with the Browns having, what, the second overall pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Can they get out from under that contract with an insurance claim or something? If they can't, whew, next couple of years will be brutal for the Browns. But and then, of course, you have the Bengals getting healthy as well. So let's take some phone calls here, Ed. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Paul is in Ellicott City. Paul, give me your thoughts on yesterday's game.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for having me. It was tough. And as a true Ravens fan, I mean, I tell it to all Ravens Nation, this wasn't just Lamar's doing, it's the whole team mm-hmm. as a whole. Kind of despise me here. Sorry, that's my dog in the background.
Sorry.
He agrees with me, too. It's kind of it's sad when you see Ravens fans turn on Lamar. Like I said, Lamar's listening to the offensive coordinator. Like I said, at the end of the day, it's a team as a whole. You know, we're all, it's all one team, not just one person. So, I mean, I was very impressed. Even though we gave a lot of opportunities to the Bills, I mean, we still technically, in so many ways, outplayed the Bills. We just got to execute better. I don't know what happened to the run game. I totally agree with the other callers. What was it, 25 minutes ago when they stated, hey, we need to, you know, keep pounding the ball, you know, against the Bills, but fortunately, we didn't get that win, but all I can say is I'm grateful for what we had last season, and hopefully, we still have Henry. We still take advantage of his abilities.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, good stuff, man. And again, like I think it's a great call and kind of how you should look at it. I think it's very difficult for people with recency bias to try to look at what happened last night and feel good about your season. It's just a human element there. Like nobody's going to feel good this morning. And even next, like you get to the start of next season, you're still not going to feel good about last season. The Ravens have gotten to a point where if you don't win the Super Bowl in a lot of fans' eyes, it's going to be a negative season, for lack of a better term. Let's go out and grab another.
The expectations are so high. That's why I was kidding around before, but kind of not saying like, you know, people like who are fans of the Jets or the Jaguars or the Browns, they don't expect anything. Never disappointed. It's like a big joke. Here, big disappointment. There's like a pall cast over the city right now.
It's so frustrating, man. Let's grab some more phone calls here. I know people want to vent. Let's go to Anthony, who's in Baltimore. Anthony, you're on the fan.
What's up? Good morning.
Morning.
So, I think it's, like I say, I think it's an overall team loss. Obviously, Lamar played his part in it. Andrews obviously played his part in it. Obviously, a lot of people on Andrews, too, because the last what we've seen. But I think the... It's like the AFC Championship game last year. I think even though how the game was called, you still had the opportunities to win. But I just don't like the overall game. Like when we played Pittsburgh last week, a team that knows us the best and knows what we're trying to do. I think we did a lot more RPOs with it, right? And then how the defense seemed like Buffalo was playing. I think that'd have been a better. Running running the RPOs, making them have to account for something. Because it seemed like that guy, Milano or somebody, I think that's what his name is.
Matt Milano,
like,
yeah.
He just was straight getting after it. He didn't have to account. Like, running the RPO at him would made him account for something. I don't know. It's just like, you still had the opportunity to win. So, you know, just like even in the AFC, like I said, the AFC Championship last year, the game plan was crap. But we still had the opportunity to win. But like, there's an overall team loss.
Appreciate the phone call, Anthony. Let's grab Johnny Ray in Annapolis. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. I want to thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah.
Baltimore, of course, is disappointed, man. You're right. They always expect us to go all the way to the Super Bowl and win it. And it's just a heartbreaker to see the talent, to see the year that we had, to see the poise we have beating the Steelers and looking like we're going to be the team to beat and going to Buffalo. And not showing up the first half is a heartbreaker because, you know, our defense the second half stopped them two times in a row. And they were showing, okay, guys, just get ready offense. And, yeah, the turnovers hurt us. But those two back-to-back plays in the fourth quarter where Henry ran for more than 10 yards, got a first down. Hill ran a yard more than 10 yards, got a first down. I'm like, okay, that's what you do, run. We're a running team. This is what we do. Lamar, do the same thing. I didn't see one time that they use Ricard at all. I didn't see one time.
He was out there.
Well, Ricard made some beautiful blocks.
Yeah, he was out there. But I think to what you were talking about, there was a lot early where I don't think you saw him as much.
What do you want to be, a runner?
Like, he's got a talent that at times we would throw him to the side like we have done Hill all year. And he could get you a few yards. you know, one of those fake plays that they did with Henry and Lamar, like giving the ball to Henry, but he keeps the ball. How many times did they do that yesterday? I didn't see it. So
it felt like they did it a lot more in the first half, to be fair. Johnny, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I don't feel like I saw enough of it in the second
half
at all.
Just so people understand, Ricard hasn't had a carry in the last 2 years. That's not the way the NFL works now.
Joe, he's due.
But I like it's not. Everyone says like, oh, it's just hand the ball to Ricard. No, like that's not the. It's not. He's not Mike Alstott. It's not 2002. You don't do that with a fullback anymore.
I'm obviously kidding.
He threw some beautiful blocks yesterday. Yeah. He really did. He sprung Henry on a long game by kicking out.
Falele got a hold of somebody. Was it DeMar? Or somebody came in and Falele said, I'd like you to be over here, please, and just move them. Let's take Clay in Eastern Shore here real quick. Clay, you're on the fan. Clay?
Hey, guys. Don't bash me. Now, listen. But, hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Guys, you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Hey, good morning. Look, man, I've been on this bandwagon since Lamar came. I'm sorry. Y'all can bash me if you want. Listen, I'm a longtime football fan, longtime Baltimore fan. look at Joe Flacco. Ravens have had – look at his first 5 years. Lamar's had a better team. He's had the number one team. He's had the number one seed. Three out of the first 5 years, Flacco, they go to the AFC Championship game. Now, Lamar is – any one of us would take Lamar over Flacco any day. Any one of us. But why could he not – can't he get it done? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm athletic. I'm a bowler. I'm a competitive bowler. I've got a friend who's an active PBA Tour bowler, Troy. Anyhow, so let me just say this. Pressure changes people. Lamar cannot handle big game pressure. That fumble cost us a game. You can't do that. He does it every time. He reminds me of Kyle Bowler. Happy feet, fast
Clay,
mind.
I do appreciate what you're saying, but I can't let you go on.
Oh, he's
that.
A bowler. He's a bowler.
I don't know if you got it mixed up hearing that Lamar had been a pro bowler and you thought that's what was similar. You don't get to say I'm a bowler then call him a choke artist and compare him to Kyle Bowler. The guy's won three MVPs.
Who do you think you are?
I am. Did you ever hear the story on how yes, Pete Weber screwed that up?
Yes.
What is it? But Clay, and I get it. Like you don't have to give your the whole thing of who you are to let us know that you think Lamar chokes in the playoffs. Just say that. It's fine. Like it's fine just to say you think he chokes in the playoffs. How many 300 games you have? Well, and it doesn't matter. All right, 410-583-1057. Rashawn, everybody else, hang on for me. We'll get to some more phone calls. Up next, final hour of the program, you'll hear from Mike Preston. We'll give you our MVPs for the divisional rounds. Ooh, it's frustrating. No Ravens moving on to the next round. But we talk, of course, about some of the sound from the game, some of the comments that were made, and we take your phone calls. That's coming up next here on The Fan.